Welcome to the Wasatch Hills Church Podcast, a ministry of the Wasatch Hills Seventh-day Adventist Church with Pastor Bernie Anderson. Our prayer is that what you hear will inspire, equip, and perhaps introduce you to a new walk with Jesus Christ.
So a few weeks ago, my wife and I had a baby. 5 weeks, actually. And it's been awesome, except for the whole lack of sleep thing. Well, to start off with, I want to tell you a little story about lack of sleep. Now, I don't normally start off my sermon with a story. Normally, according to your homiletics professor, your story is supposed to go in the middle after you have 2 points, and then you have your third point. That's not really the middle. But anyway, it never made sense to me. Why not just tell a big, long story with all of the good stuff in the middle of it? So this is going to be a big, long story. So, several weeks ago, I think Gianna was like 2 weeks old, maybe 3 weeks, 2 weeks old at the time, so it was 3 weeks ago. She was up in the middle of the night, as babies do occasionally, I hear, and she wanted to eat, and she wanted to get her diaper changed, and so Mom fed her, I changed her. That's the way we do things. Olivia feeds her, I change her. She goes back to sleep, in theory. Well, for a few days, nearly a week in fact, she wouldn't go back to sleep. And so I would walk back and forth, rocking her. And she likes to move, so it wasn't like, it was like, you know, you hold the baby and you rock the baby, almost to the point where Olivia and I have become worried that we're going to give her shaken baby syndrome just because she likes to move so much. So I was walking back and forth, and I happened to look at the clock, and I'm like, oh, it's 3:33 in the morning. Oy vey. Just please. I'm like, okay, so at 3:35, you're going to be asleep. Walk back and forth. 3:35 came. Oh, man. Okay, so by 3:45, she's got to be out. Sure enough, she was. And then the next day, I'm walking back and forth, and I look at the alarm clock. 3:33 again? Oy. And the next day, 3:33. And then the next day, 3:33. And then I said, huh, as I'm sitting there in my half-dazed asleep stupor, trying to get her to stop screaming and to go to sleep, I said to myself, self, when you wake up in the morning, you're going to go to your computer, you're going to go to Bible Gateway, so it's really easy, and you're going to go down the list of all of the books of the Bible, and you're going to click every single chapter 3, and you're going to read every single verse 33. And then it dawned on me while I was doing that, that, oh yeah, the alarm clock is 10 minutes fast, so that when we hit the snooze, we actually get up when we wanted to get up to begin with. So maybe I should look at all the 3:23s as well. So I did. I learned something. There's not that many chapter 3s in the Bible that have 33 verses. There's not that many chapter 3s in the Bible that even have 23 verses. Peculiar. I said, well, that's interesting. Some of them were great, you know, in Numbers. You know, it's just a list. And so you're like, okay, that's enlightening. But as you move on, something begins to develop between the 3:23s and the 3:33s. Now, mind you, there are very few 3:33s. But of those, the vast majority between the 3:23s and the 3:33s were on a similar topic. I don't know if God meant it that way or whoever put the verse numbers in the Bible thought, hey, this would be fun in case there's some guy named Ben, you know, 1,500 years from now, going through, you know, waking up at 3:33 in the morning. Anyway, other than that, the numbers have nothing to do with anything because they weren't there to begin with. Let's bow our heads before we start talking more. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask that you would come into this place this morning. Fill this place so full that there is only room for you and us. Lord, we'd ask you to to open our hearts, open our minds, and open our ears to what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, when I first started looking at the 323s and 33s, I was thinking to myself, wow, this is kind of weird, you know? Who would have thought that being awake in the middle of the night, past the middle of the night, at O Dark 30 some point, would come to such a realization of stuff that we've all already known. We know everything that I'm about to tell you. But for some reason, when it all gets put together, it makes a lot more sense. And I was struggling to figure out how in the world does this work? Because it all seemed to be on a theme, but I couldn't put my finger on it. And then I was talking to my mom on the telephone, which I do quite often because I'm a mama's boy. Anyway, so I was talking on the phone with her, and suddenly when she said, now remember, your Aunt Lacey is out in Utah visiting her children and her grandchildren, so you're going to want to visit them. And I was like, okay. And it dawned on me, Aunt Lacey's the one that took the turn out, and she threw the rock, and the little boy came. Ah! So then it hit me. All of these verses have something to do with how Christ carries us through. The first verse I want you to turn to is found in the book of Jeremiah. Now, you already know which chapter it is. If you don't, I want your neighbor to pinch you. Okay? Chapter 3, verse 23, because the alarm clock was 10 minutes fast. Jeremiah 3, 23. Wow, I turned right to it. Oh, I can't find it. Okay. Surely the idolatrous commotion on the hills and the mountains is a deception. Surely in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. Now, without some context, that verse can seem kind of strange. So if you read a few verses before, starting in verse 21, it says, a cry is heard on the barren heights, the weeping and pleading of the people of Israel, because they have perverted their ways and have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, faithless people, I will cure you of backsliding. Yes, we will come to you, and you are the Lord our God. Surely the idolatrous commotions on the hills and mountains is a deception. Surely in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. My favorite part of that verse, I will cure you of backsliding. A few years ago, in Oregon, at our church in Newburgh, we had a gentleman who would always come up and do a personal ministries time. He would talk about what he was doing. Occasionally, some other people would come up and talk about what they were doing to minister personally. And every once in a while, he would talk about backsliders. And it especially happened during the summer. Because, like here, people would be gone all summer long, whether it was camping, whether they were on vacations, or whether they just didn't want to come to church in the morning. I don't know. Well, particularly in the summer, there was a running theme of backsliders. And he'd always pray, dear Lord, please be with the backsliders who are not here today. It was hilarious. It was one of those things that I never even stopped to think about because I was laughing so much that maybe he was more talking to me than the people that weren't there. Maybe he was more talking to everybody. Because we have all done that. How many of us during the week lead a life that is completely separate from how we are at church? Are we backsliders during the week and then at church we're prim and proper? Is that our life? Are we backsliders? And is there a commotion in the hills, Wasatch Hills, because of it? I think the commotion should be that Jesus is our salvation. Another one, along the same theme, is Daniel. You guessed it, Daniel 3:23. It says, if you have your Bibles, please read it alone. This is another one that needs context. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Now, we can all guess what the story is. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't want to bow down to this massive golden image. So they get tied up, and they get heaved into the furnace. And when I read this one, this is where it really hit me. This is all about Christ carrying us through. Because lo and behold, three men go in and four men are walking around. I'm a theology major. You've heard Bernie say it before. You've heard me say it before. We don't do math. I've never actually met a theology major who enjoyed math. But three go in does not equal four in there. You get $3 in your wallet, you have $3 in your wallet. You don't have four. Jesus carried them through. When it looked like things couldn't possibly get worse, I don't think I could think of a worse way to go than to get tied up and thrown into a furnace. When it couldn't get any worse, Jesus was there. When your life seems to be falling apart, whether you lose your job, whether you have cancer, whether you... whatever it is, you lose a child, you lose a parent, your husband or wife is cheating on you, whatever it is, Christ is there. You just have to stop grimacing for the pain. Open your eyes and see that He is there with you. Because we get so caught up in the fear and thinking we can't handle it, we close in on ourselves. And we forget that there's someone else there with us. No matter who has abandoned us, God is there. He's carrying us through. Going to have you turn to another 3:23 passage. This time it's in Romans. We all know what Romans says. We've probably had it memorized. But I want to read it a little bit in the context. So I'm going to read the couple verses before and a couple verses after. Starting with verse 21. But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. All have sinned. No matter who you are, where you're from, how long you've been going to church, how many Sabbaths you've been keeping properly your entire life. We're all sinners. We're all in the hole together. We've all fallen into that dry creek bed that my mom fell into almost 50 years ago. We're down there. And Jesus came down. He picked us up in that pit, threw us over his shoulder, and climbed out with us. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short. But Jesus is there to carry us through. You know, in the bulletin it says carry, a verb. I love English. Not just because I speak it, but I found English fascinating in school. After I started reading the literature and got more away from the diagramming of sentences and all of that tediousness that you have to do when you're like 9th and 10th grade and 8th grade. Wow. You know, you draw the line and then you put, here's the preposition. Anyway, wow. But I learned a lot. To carry is a verb. You pick something up. It is an action. It's sort of a passive action. Unless, you know, you can put something on your back and you can carry it. You're not really doing much besides just letting it sit there. But in order to carry something, something must first be what? Picked up. So in order for Christ to carry us, he had to pick us up. That little 8-year-old boy, who, by the way, his name is Eddie Heinrich, he's now the youth director of Northern California Conference, carried my mom a half a mile with a broken leg sticking out. Jesus came down here and he picked us up. And he carried us a heck of a lot farther than a half a mile. He carried us from eternal nothingness to eternal life. He has carried us through. The theme of being carried is something I found fascinating. Why would it be in all of the 323s and 333s? Maybe it was because I thought I was going through trials of carrying this baby around. But so many times, so many of us feel so down about what is going on in our lives. Others might look at us and say, hey, you know, they got a nice house, they got nice cars, they got, you know, everything they need. But inside, you're saying to yourself, man, if life gets any worse, where are you, God? Where are you? You're just practically shouting to God, where are you? The answer is, he's carrying you. You know, we've all read the Footprints poem. See two sets of footprints, and then there's one set. And the one set of footprints is when everything's really terrible, right? And they're like, why did you leave me there? And God's like, I didn't leave you. I picked you up, I threw you over my shoulder, and I carried you through that. Those are my footprints. My footprints. Christ's footprints are all over our sin. He has trampled it to nothing. Another one. Galatians 3:23. If I look at the English side, not the Spanish side, it works better. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. We've been going through the book of Galatians in youth class. And actually, today was chapter 3. And we talked about the law. You know, in Galatians, Paul is pretty much on a rant at Peter and several other people, but Peter really gets the brunt of it. Because Peter had been telling the Gentiles one thing, and then he wanted to get buddy-buddy with the Jews because he felt kind of out of place with them. So he started telling the Gentiles another thing. So he'd been saying, you know what? The law, not so important. Then all of a sudden, well, you know, you got to do the law. You got to get circumcised. You got to, you know, make sure you're not walking too far on the Sabbath again. And, you know, doing that whole thing that the Jews had been doing for so long and missing the point of the law. And Paul is reiterating that the law is there only to show us what we do wrong. The law cannot save us. We can obey the law until we are three shades of blue in the face. And we will not be saved. It is not until you have that faith and that relationship with Jesus Christ that you will be saved. It is not the law that saves you. It is Jesus Christ who saves you. Because, like Paul says in Galatians, the law doesn't have a magic potion that if you obey this law, ta-da, you're saved. No, the law, if you obey all those laws, you're a good person. You're an excellent person. You're exactly the kind of person that Jesus Christ wants. But it doesn't mean he has you. But because of Jesus, he can have us. God can have us because Jesus has picked us up and turned the law, which condemned us, into something that can save us. Only through Jesus is the law any good to us. Period. Christ has carried us over the hurdle that we had no hope of ever getting over. No hope. Christ has carried us over. And that's probably the most hopeless thing we face. We can get so bogged down by thinking, who am I? What good am I to God? My life is a wreck. I might look okay on the outside, but on the inside, the stuff I do at home when I'm alone, I'm not proud of. The stuff that, the way I treat my family is embarrassing. But nobody knows that. Why would God want me? When life gets there, it's when you need to turn to Lamentations. A book full of complaints. Because when you're complaining, it's nice to read about other people who've complained before too, right? You kind of like misery loves company. So let's go to Lamentations. And this is where we throw in a 333 too. So 323, Lamentations 323. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. What is new every morning? The steadfast, loving kindness, generosity, whatever you want to say. It's new every single day. You can say, God, forget you on Tuesday. And Wednesday, he says, I'm here for you. You can say, God, where are you? I hate you. On Sabbath and Sunday, he says, I'm here for you. I was here for you yesterday too, but y'all were just so caught up in your misery that you forgot I was here. Now 33. For he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. We oftentimes blame God for the stuff that happens in our life. Especially in this postmodern era, or I guess now it's not really postmodern, I don't know what they're calling it now, but we tend to like be the victim. Oh, dear me. I messed up because my daddy didn't hug me enough. Well, that might be partially true, but, you know, part of it's just because you're nuts. We like to blame the stuff that we bring upon ourselves on others. And God, he's really big. We can't actually see him, and he doesn't seem to talk back a lot. So we can blame God for wherever it is we are as a human race. A lot of people do that. They get so nearsighted that they say, you know what? These horrible disasters that are happening right now, these shootings in the schools, these terrible wars, whatever it is, that is all God's fault. If God was, you know, as powerful as people say he is, he would stop it all. Boom. Life would be perfect and we'd live in utopia instead of Utah. Sin, folks. Sin. Our choices are what get us into a lot of the stuff that we're in. I've been really trying to teach that to my boys. You know, you have several options. One, go to bed now and have a great day tomorrow and get, you know, all the good stuff that comes with tomorrow during the summer. Two, go to bed later and miss out on all of that good stuff that you'd normally get tomorrow. Three, well, there's no option three. We have two options, folks. We can give ourselves to God and let him carry us through this junk. Or we can muddle through it ourselves and have nothing in return. Period. Nothing. Life can be miserable. Things can go wrong. Jobs can be lost. Friends can pass away. Loved ones can pass away. Life can be miserable. But if we blame it on God instead of saying, God, thank you for being here. If we blame it on God instead of saying, God, pick me up, please. You know, I'm sick and tired of walking through here. I got these gnarly blisters on my feet, and my legs are killing me. I just can't move another step. Can you please, Lord Jesus, pick me up. He's saying, you know what? I've been right here with a sign that says, we'll pick you up on the front and back of my shirt. And I've been saying, hey, yo, I'm here for a long time. Thank you for asking me to help you. All we got to do, guys, is say, pick me up. Carry me through. Because I can't do it anymore. God's not going to give you stuff you cannot handle. He's not going to allow stuff in your life that you can't handle with him. You're going to look at it and you'll be like, whoa, there's no way I can handle that on my own. That's right. You can't. But with God, it might be tough. It might not end the way you want it to. But he's going to carry you through. All the way through. We have one final 3:23. Pretty sure I know where this one is. It's in Proverbs. I thought this was a great way to end it. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. You know why you don't stumble when you're getting carried? Because you ain't doing the walking. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being there to carry us through. No matter what it is, no matter what we've done, no matter what we've said about you, to you, or to others about you. We thank you for being there, fresh every single day, to pick us up, throw us over your shoulder, and get us from nothingness to eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Wasatch Hills Church Podcast. For information about the Wasatch Hills Church, please visit us on the internet at www.wasatchhills.org, or you may email Pastor Bernie Anderson at pastor@wasatchhills.org.